And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A, y'all. I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn, stretching across the border to the lovely Fort Benning. I called it Fort Benning. And I mean even big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we got a lot going on this show. There's plenty to talk about. It's a target-rich environment if you're doing conservative news talk. But every once in a while, you got to pull back, and you got to take a look at some other things. Well, we got a guy with us, JP, who happens to be a sports guru. He is like a sports savant, if you will. And we do a thing every week we call JP on Sports. And we have two segments. First is called the Three and Out. He gives me the top three stories he believes are out there in the sporting world. We take a break. We come back. We do the two-minute warnings. He can do anything in the world related to sports. 2 minutes at a time, and I got a timer and a buzzer. But he also has his very own sound effect, courtesy of some wonderful sorority girls down at Auburn University. Let's do some JP on Sports.
JP on Sports!
Nice!
Very nice.
Very nice. All right, man, let's do it. Three and out. What's number one?
So I feel like the three and out going forward is going to be mainly college basketball.
Here we are.
It's we're in March, so therefore this is season for college basketball. But so we had Auburn beat Ole Miss earlier today, so they will be moving on to the semis where they will be playing the winner of Texas versus Tennessee, who is actually playing right now. They are at halftime right now. Tennessee is up 41-38 to Texas. So Auburn and Tennessee played earlier in the season. If you remember, it was a barn burner down at Auburn where Auburn won because of a Miles Kelly three-pointer with like 10 seconds left. Very, very close game. So that would be a very interesting matchup if we can get Tennessee-Auburn part two. But Texas has kind of surprised me. They beat Texas A&M earlier, which Texas A&M, I believe, is the 14th ranked team in the nation right now, where Texas was like, I think, the third to last seed in the SEC tournament, and it looks like they're kind of maybe gearing up for a run. I don't know. Could we see Texas win this game? And then you would think Texas-Auburn would be a blowout, but with how Texas is going on a roll, if they win today, we could see another upset of Texas plowing through. I don't know. That'd be very interesting. But right now I'm thinking if we have Auburn-Tennessee, it will be close. But if Texas wins, I think Auburn may manhandle them. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's this month of March. So, you know, it is the month of upsets.
That's why they call it March Madness.
That's exactly why they call it March Madness. But Auburn today, a lot of people were wondering how they would respond after the disappointing last game of the season for them. But today, even though it was kind of close, it looks like that they got back in the win column and got back a bit of momentum to start peaking again going into March Madness. So we'll see. It's hard to tell. We don't know who's going to win this game yet, but I think I'm personally hoping Tennessee wins this game because I selfishly want to see a round two of Tennessee-Auburn. I think that'll be a great game.
I think it would be a great game, and I noticed you couldn't get by without bringing up the Alabama game. That's okay.
I had to. I had to, of course.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, what you got?
So tonight we got Alabama versus Kentucky, part three for this season. Kentucky got a win last night, so they are moving on to play in the quarterfinals against Alabama today, number three versus number six in the SEC seeding. Fun fact, Alabama has never beaten Kentucky three times in one season, so they're already 2-0 against Kentucky. If statistics and history repeats itself, then that'll mean the Wildcats would beat Alabama tonight. We'll see if I think Kentucky's main problem all year has been their key guys have been injured, but yet they've got a lot of their starters that were injured throughout the season back now, and they'll be playing in the postseason. So this is a completely different Kentucky team that played Alabama twice in the regular season, and a different Kentucky team that's played all season technically. So now that they got those guys back, it could be a much, much closer game against Alabama tonight. And I talked about Auburn bouncing back after that end of the season loss. Who knows, Alabama may be fat and happy after ending the season how they did with that buzzer beater win at Auburn. Who knows? So I think it'll be I think tonight will be a good game. I think tonight will really be a good game between Kentucky and Alabama.
Did you just bring up the Alabama-Auburn basketball game in both segments?
Yeah, but I said Alabama may be fat and happy after that. may come back to hurt them. Wink, wink. But yeah, I mean, like I said, that is kind of crazy. Alabama's never beaten Kentucky three times in a row in a season. So we'll see if Alabama can reverse that today or if history just continues to repeat itself. But I've said it before. If I had to pick one team, one sleeper, quote, sleeper team for March Madness, I think Kentucky would be near the top of that list.
Really?
Because of, like I said, of, you know, I think they're projected to be a fifth seed in the March Madness because of the reason that they didn't have their star guys most of the year. And now that they're getting them back, and like a, you know, fifth seed, you want to call that a sleeper, but not many people are expecting Kentucky to make a run. I don't think many people have Kentucky in their Elite Eight or Final Four. So that's why I deem them as a sleeper, because people are kind of overlooking them being a fifth or sixth seed, whatever they'll be in the March Madness. I could see Kentucky making an Elite Eight run, you know, if they get all their guys healthy and play to the level that they can play. I mean, they beat Duke. Kentucky beat Duke the third game of the regular season, which Duke is the number one team right now. So this is a Kentucky team, when fully healthy, beat the number one team currently. So if they can play like they were playing to start the year with all their healthy guys, now that they got them back, Kentucky could make a run and surprise a lot of people.
All right. That's two. Good ones. Let's see if you can throw Alabama-Auburn basketball game into the third one. What's number three? What do you got?
So this is another great game. This will be at 6 o'clock. Number 21, Missouri, going up against number 4, Florida. Missouri is a very quality team. They've beaten several high-ranked teams throughout the regular season. But then Florida right now, Florida got wins against Auburn and Alabama, both at their places. I think Florida right now, if we don't get an Alabama-Auburn SEC championship, which right now I still think it's going to happen because, come on, it's got to. It's written in the stars, I feel like, to get an IBOB Part 3. But if that doesn't happen, I think Florida will end up winning the SEC championship because they are just that stinking good. Their center, Condon, with Condon healthy, which he was a little banged up throughout the year, if Condon is healthy, Florida may be on the list of like two or three teams that I would pick to win it all. They're just that good. They're lengthy. They pick and roll at Alabama to death, which is what they do to everybody. So I think right now, if I couldn't pick Alabama or Auburn, I would have to pick Florida to be my SEC champion favorite. But they got to get the win tonight against Missouri. Like I said, number 21 ranked Missouri. So they can't overlook Missouri at all. Missouri is a team that will sneak up on you and beat you if you're not playing at your best. But I think, like I said, Florida will be playing the winner of Alabama-Kentucky. So we'll see if Florida can go on to win the SEC championship. Right now, I think it's pretty dang likely. Todd Golden for Florida, up-and-coming coach, has completely turned that basketball program around to actually be relevant again, because they kind of went through a period of being irrelevant. This is a team that won back-to-back national championships in the mid-2000s with, you know, Joakim Noah, Al Horford, and then they kind of went through like a slump there. But Todd Golden has revived that program to be back. And like I said, yeah, look out for Florida to maybe win it all in the March Madness and come back to being, you know, a national championship program. If they stay healthy, they have the players to do that. But yeah, you also have to get real lucky, and a lot's got to go your way in the March Madness tournament. So look out for Florida. But like I said, they got to get the win tonight against Missouri first.
So, all right, so you're 3-0. We're all basketball, and which, mm-hmm. by the way, that's where we are.
Yep.
But all right, so everybody – even though we're a regional SEC kind of central geographic team here, or station here, I mean, but the bottom line though is that the SEC is dominating college basketball right now, like dominating perhaps more than ever. But mm-hmm. here's my question for you, because we got overtime. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're in overtime right now, 3-and-out. We got a little time left, so overtime. What non-SEC team do you think has the most viability for making the Elite Eight or Final Four? Where are they going to be in the bracket? Who is it?
Well, at the top of my mind, I got to say Duke.
Okay.
Because, you know, well, Cooper Flagg did just sprain his ankle. So, you know, Cooper Flagg, who is 1A and 1B with Jahni Broome to win player of the year, if Cooper Flagg is healthy, then I would say Duke. But if I wanted to give an actual fun and interesting answer that wouldn't be Duke, I would have to say St. John's. So Rick Pitino, the legendary coach at Louisville and Kentucky, won a championship at Kentucky. I believe he won one at Louisville, too, if I remember correctly. If he didn't win one, he made them a great, great program. And then, obviously, they had the big falling out. I don't know if you remember him getting fired because of recruiting scandal. Mm-hmm. So he goes, he gets a second life at St. John's. And last time I checked, I think they were the sixth-ranked team in the nation. St. John's is like, I mean, they put up some good players, but they've never been like considered very serious as a program. But right now, I mean, with how Rick Pitino has got them playing, I St. John's is a fun team that I would say that I wouldn't say they're under the radar necessarily, because obviously you got a legendary coach and you're ranked like top 10. But I don't think a lot of people are giving St. John like a chance at the Final Four. It's like, it's fun, Rick Pitino, you know, but come on, they haven't played much competition. They're going to run into an actual good team eventually, and it's going to be over. I wouldn't say that necessarily. I think St. John's would be like my somewhat sleeper
your dark horse team.
My dark horse team. But if I had to say a non-SEC team that right now I would pick to win the championship, it would probably be Duke. You know, considering if Cooper Flagg is healthy with his ankle.
Where is St. John's? Where is
St. John's is in New York.
Really?
I don't know where in New York. I believe so. It's in New York. Somebody may fact check me on that. I know it's Northeast nonetheless. But yeah, it's fun to see Rick Pitino back in the mix. And
is St. John's one of those schools that if they have sports, it's basketball because all they can do?
Yeah, I think
like Gonzaga. Like, who's Gonzaga? Well, they have a basketball team. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're known for they've had a couple of guys that have gone to the league and done well. But like I said, they never really – so they're in Queens. They've never necessarily been a threat to win at all. But Rick Pitino, like I said – people thought Rick Pitino was dead, buried, and gone, and then surprise, he's back at St. John's. So yeah, it's been pretty fun to watch.
I heard Nick Saban's going to wind up coaching at a Division II team pretty soon.
No, he's getting that ESPN money. He's good.
All right, take it to a break, JP. That's three and out. First round of JP on Sports. Yeah, buddy, and we'll come right back for the 2 minute warnings. And I've got a timer and a buzzer, and we'll just see what all he can sling together for 2 minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back for round two of JP on Sports. So this is called the two-minute warning. And I literally have a timer, and we have a buzzer. And JP has got 2 minutes per section to run through anything in the world of sports he thinks is worthy of note. Ready, go.
Is anybody else tired of the race baiting in sports? Because I know I am.
Wow, you're going down that road.
So Ryan Clark, who is a NFL ESPN analyst. By the way, I love him as an analyst. He's a former player. He knows what he's talking about. However, whenever he decides to veer off into the race baiting land, it gets pretty annoying. So they were discussing the upcoming NFL draft, which will be next month, and the quarterbacks in the class. And they were talking about Shedeur Sanders, a quarterback from Colorado, Deion Sanders' son, and claim that there may be a dip in his stock because he's black.
Come on.
You know, he said something about how maybe the flashy style that Shedeur has and the color of his skin discourages some teams from wanting to take him. And how dare they question if his arrogance or something is going to affect his ability to be a leader.
Have they seen Cam Newton?
Yeah. Well, not even Cam Newton. I'll give you another example. How about Johnny Manziel?
Oh, my gosh.
well, you know, is he acting like teams didn't think Johnny Manziel was going to be an issue for that reason? And by the way, I don't see Shedeur Sanders, you know, going off and doing drugs and the stuff that Johnny Manziel was doing. So that let's not act like some NFL GM is, you know, Shedeur Sanders, he's really good, but you know, it's just, I can't take a black quarterback. Who thinks that's real? Like, who thinks that's actually
Nobody.
Happening? It's absolutely ridiculous. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm so tired of of people talking about race in sports as if anybody actually cares about what color anybody's skin is. The NFL GMs want to make money, so they're going to take whoever the best option is at that spot. It doesn't matter the color of their skin, okay? And by the way, too, if they're going to question his, quote, arrogance or flashiness, let's not act like that's because he's black, okay? Because, like I said, Johnny Manziel was a much, much worse example than Shedeur Sanders. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm fed up with the race baiting in sports.
I would agree. Oh, right there on the buzzer. All right, I would agree with that. Let me reset the clock for you. Good job, man. 2 minute warning, number two, go.
So this was a very crazy story, in my opinion. So apparently the 76ers president, Daryl Morey, claimed that they use AI frequently to make decisions.
What?
You know, so this
like
is
like on the court decisions?
No, like free agency decisions.
Oh, okay.
Who are they going to pick in the draft? And apparently they've fed some scenarios through AI, and he said that they don't necessarily, you know, go with what the AI says, but he claims that they're keeping a track record of how accurate over time. Like, okay, well, the AI said to pick this guy. How did this guy end up doing? And they're kind of keeping a track of how accurate it is. But this sparked a question in my head of how soon until we just have full-blown AI GMs in sports. Think about it. Imagine the AI GMs making trades with each other and you know, talking about who they want to trade with. I don't know. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility if 10 to 15 years down the line, if they're like, look, we will save a lot of money and a lot of time, just have the AI do the decisions. And obviously, if we don't like it, we'll stop it. But just put AI at the GM role and we'll see how that goes. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for, you know, because AI can look at, you know, a bunch of stats and stuff much quicker than a GM can. And maybe the AI will make a better decision in the long run than the human GM does. So I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation. We've already got presidents of sports teams factoring in AI and decisions it's making, but how much longer till we just have full-blown AI GMs making deals with each other?
And then when does it go to Moneyball? I mean, that's where we are. Mm-hmm. It's Moneyball AI.
Yeah, Moneyball AI. It's that's a dystopian world that I don't know. It doesn't seem too much out of the realm of possibility, but I want to see the AI GMs dealing with each other. You know, will they negotiate with each other? Will they just simply take each other's first offer?
And there's the buzzer. That's crazy. All right. Wow. Sports. Okay. Number three, 2 minute warning. Go.
So John Calipari made headlines this week for his comments that he made about the SEC basketball tournament. Obviously, former Kentucky head coach, now Arkansas head coach, legendary head coach. He said that he doesn't care about conference tournament. He said, I could care less about the SEC tournament, and then goes, which is probably why we've won it so much, because I could care less about it. But he said that they just try to play the best that they can so that they can get the best seed for the NCAA tournament. But he said ultimately he could care less about the SEC tournament. And honestly, it's something that a lot of people have been talking about, but to hear it come from a head coach, especially a legendary head coach like John Calipari, that's just saying, I could care less about this tournament. It's kind of nuts to hear a coach say that games are kind of meaningless at a certain stage. I mean, a lot of coaches are lying when they say that, we're hitting it to win it, when ultimately they know it would be nice to if we got lost and have some time to recover for the March Madness. We saw Alabama lose in the round one of the SEC tournament last year and make the Final Four. We've seen examples of a bunch of other teams do the same, get bounced early in the conference tournament, and then make a run in the NCAA tournament because they had more time to heal up,
yeah, exactly.
Rest, and you know, teams like 10 of the SEC teams in the tournament are already going to the conference championship going to the March Madness no matter what. Like, I think the conference championship is only meaningful to lower end teams that need to win it to get into the March Madness, where teams that are already in no matter what, how they do in the conference tournament, it is kind of meaningless. So at least Calipari had the guts to say maybe what a bunch of other high level coaches won't say. He's right, though. He's fully right. But it was pretty bizarre to hear a high level coach like Calipari just say it out in the open for the public to hear. Of like, I don't care about the SEC tournament that much.
That is crazy. And there's the buzzer.
There's the music.
I mean, it's perfect timing. We couldn't even get the buzzer in because the music was already playing. Good job, man. That's JP on Sports. We do it every Friday at 3:30. And don't forget, we got the JP's Sports Podcast called Out of Right Field, which comes out every Monday. All right, folks, coming up, hour number three on a Friday. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.